Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
An insider's look at the National Football League.
That's a W. How many of you want to eat a W tonight?
Time for NFL Lunch.
Cook you a turducken. Oh, there it is.
He's probably a Popeye's biscuit away from being a tight end.
Sponsored by Ruth's Chris Steakhouse with Vinny and Haney on Sports Radio. 105.7 The Fan.
Top Pages of Football, NFL Lunch style. Bob Haney, Nolan McGraw. Vinny's off today. He'll be at Falston Barrel House on Sunday morning for the Baltimore Game Day Uncensored pregame show, getting you ready for the Ravens and Vikings. That kickoff is at 1 o'clock. Ravens 4.5-point favorites in that one. No Ronnie Stanley at practice today, but it's Jonah Schaefer, who we had on earlier from the Baltimore Banner, tweeted out probably just a maintenance day for Ronnie, as the Ravens have had a relatively healthy week at practice so far. Last night, Thursday Night Football, if you missed it, maybe you went to sleep and probably put you to sleep, 10-7. Denver over the Raiders. Broncos have won 7 in a row. Their defense is legit. They had 6 sacks last night against that Raiders offense, but their offense, Denver's, has been rather offensive as of late. But Nolan McGraw, 7 wins is 7 wins. They don't look like an unbeatable 8-2, but you know, you stack your wins. You can only play the games on your schedule, and they're not really blowing anybody out. Remember, they did win at Philadelphia, which is commendable. Came from behind big to beat the Giants in what was an explosive offensive performance. But I mean, 8 wins are 8 wins, but it still doesn't seem like they're a team that's going to strike fear into opponents later in the season, or certainly into January, if they're the top seed.
I'm on board with what Jonah Schaefer was telling us earlier. You know, you're looking ahead in your crystal ball to potential playoff matchups, and we're hoping here that the Ravens are going to be a part of that. But, you know, if you could get a wild card round matchup against Denver, sure, that defense is legit, like you said. You'd have to game plan for that. But Lamar in this offense, I mean, like, what's it going to take to beat this, you know, 24 points?
Yeah.
21 could do it. I mean, I think they'll make some adjustments here. But again, that schedule. Eagles are the only good team they've beaten this year. They lost to the Colts. They lost to the Chargers. All their other wins. I mean, look at these teams. Titans, Bengals, Jets, Giants, Cowboys, Texans, Raiders. You play who's in front of you. But now here's the real test coming up. Kansas City Chiefs next week.
And Kansas City, you know, we keep thinking they're about to get it back together. And, you know, since they were, air quotes, back against the Ravens, they've lost, what, two games there? They sit at 5-4. They lost again to Buffalo during the regular season. But point is, Denver, Bo Nix has potential to be really good. And he has been really good at times. And J.K. Dobbins has had a nice revitalization to his career. Cortland Sutton's a good wide receiver. But, man, that offense could be an albatross for them if they're looking to get deep into the postseason.
Big time, for sure. But we'll see. Like I said, I really do expect them to turn it around in some capacity. Because, again, all right, here recently it's been rough, but they did drop 44 on the Cowboys.
Yep.
33 on the... And that's what we're saying. The Giants was the crazy comeback. But they get credit for that. I mean, if they lost that game like they should have, and probably should have been by a pretty considerable margin, we'd be ripping them to shreds. You know, you lost to the Giants. What's going on? So, I mean, they do get credit for the crazy fourth quarter. Offense was certainly on fire there.
Yep, 7 in a row is what it is. So congratulations to the Denver Broncos for Pete Carroll. Hey, welcome back to the league, buddy. And not working out as well as you thought it was. Now, the Ravens taking on Minnesota, and J.J. McCarthy's back. He helped them beat Detroit on the road last week. They were 9.5-point dogs against their division rivals. But apparently, J.J. McCarthy has an alter ego.
Yeah, he talked about it here at a recent press conference.
I feel like I do. Yeah, there's definitely a level of a switch that gets flipped. You know, for me, it's, you know, that I call him Nine. Nine comes out, and I got to understand, like, okay, he can't be at his peak performance throughout 3.5 hours. So how do I find little ways, you know, on the sideline, you know, get back to my breath, get back to my visualization that could kind of maintain that intense, you know, competitive stamina throughout the whole game?
You didn't sound so confident there. I mean,
what the hell is he talking about?
I call him Nine.
Call him Nine, I guess. I don't know. Don't question me about it.
Yeah.
His jersey number, obviously. I mean, but like that's his Slim Shady, I guess.
Okay.
I mean, I am not impressed, I'll tell you that.
But he broke out the Nine after the game against Detroit or on the sidelines.
I don't even know. That was from the press conference, which I guess followed. Nowadays, every time the team wins, the camera's in the locker room showing the coach's speech.
Yeah.
So he got the game ball, right? First game back from injury. Played well enough. But he's standing there, like, giving this fake, like, mean mug to the camera and all of his teammates. I'm like, if I was his teammate, I'd be laughing in his face. Like, dude, come on, calm down. Like, it's all... You're not intimidating, first of all, to start. I mean, you've always really been corny, even going back to Michigan. Remember, like, him out there before the national championship doing photo ops, like, 5 hours before kickoff? Well, he's stretching it out, just taking it all in before the big game. It's like, come on, man. He does not scare me as a threat. I'm leaving myself extremely vulnerable here that this is going to be shoved back in my face come Monday morning. But I do feel confident in the Ravens.
Yeah, and by the way, if you missed our picks yesterday, all three of us, me, Vinny, and Nolan, picked the Ravens to win. You know, Vinny thinks it's going to be easier. I mean, I'm thinking Minnesota will get their points, but we'll see. Hopefully we don't see nine. Maybe nine sacks would be great to see as J.J. McCarthy goes up against this rejuvenated, we hope, Ravens defense. We'll come back, talk Orioles, Nolan's wish list for an Orioles bullpen, and we'll talk more in depth about the Orioles' new lead hitting coach, and I guess the implication there is, Nolan, that there's going to be others along for the ride there.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
According to sources, Rich Dubroff, BaltimoreBaseball.com, writing this a couple of hours ago, he is, the Philadelphia Phillies assistant hitting coach, Dustin Lynn, 37 years old. He will be the new lead hitting coach for the Orioles. He's been in Philly for the last two seasons, worked with Craig Albernaz, Orioles manager in San Francisco, where he was the director of hitting and the assistant hitting coach for the Giants from 2000 to 2023. Began his coaching career as a minor league coach with the Mariners back in 2018. Was on the major league staff back in 2019. Never played, let's see, did not play professionally, whatever that means. He does have his physical therapy degree from the University of Montana. But Dustin Lind, who's been in professional baseball, affiliated with Major League Baseball now for pushing 10 years, 37 years old, he is the lead hitting coach, according to reports now, for the Orioles.
I think he's pulling double duty. He's a hitting coach, and he's going to be a part of the training staff.
Yeah.
He's got the physical therapy.
Where'd all the injuries come from?
Here's the thing about the hitting coach hires, is that when we get in season, right, and they're stinking it up, we're all going to be here at the forefront, myself included, screaming about firing these hitting coaches, make the changes, come on, what are you doing? And then when they hire a new hitting coach, who the hell is this guy? I have no idea. All right, we'll see how he does. You know, but that's the musical chairs game when it comes to hitting coaches. You know, we had Ashy and our guys, or Ashy's going to Detroit, one of the other guys going to the White Sox. So
yeah, Sherman Johnson.
All of these guys, it seems like even if you have success, you're probably going to be in a new location every 3-4 years.
But again, in the olden days, and sometimes, Nolan, yes, the olden days were better. You had one hitting coach, one guy. That was it. And he was usually sometimes even your first base coach. You know what I mean? The coaching staff was like five guys tops. Now there's you have three. Orioles had three hitting coaches last year. And then you have pitching coach, and then pitching consultants. You have the bullpen coach and catching guru guys. I mean, the staffs are almost like football coaching staffs. And if there's too many yapping, I mean, processing too much information could lead to overthinking and poor performance, because I'm guessing that you're going to get comfortable with one guy. I mean, it's just human nature. It's like, well, I'm digging more with this guy's doing for me than, you know, me sitting here watching 5 hours of film, looking at my exit velo launch angle and all of this nonsense here.
Right. I mean, I don't disagree with you. I think there's no problem with having a group effort as long as everyone's has a unified message. I think sometimes where things get a little haywire, and not even at the major league level, take it all through the minors. And the Orioles used to be this way before the new regime took over. You know, guys are being taught one thing in single A. You get a different message in double A. By the time you get to triple A, what were they telling you down there? No. This is how we do it. And then you get to the majors, and it's, well, now it's all about money and trying to sustain your career, and it's a whole different thing. So it should be, all right, for lack of a better term, the Oriole way. All right, let's instill that all the way from the bottom, and it's the same thing all the way through the majors. You know, unified message. You want to have different perspectives, older guys, younger guys, an analytic approach, a more traditional approach. I think it's all valuable, but let's make sure everyone's on the same page.
Yep, to your point, the guy at Gulf Coast should be getting the same advice that Gunnar Henderson's getting up here at Oriole Park Cannon Yard. So Dustin Lynn, according to reports, Rich Dubroff, he's going to be the lead hitting coach for the Orioles. All right, Orioles could use a closer. They definitely need bullpen arms. So you've got a wish list together, Nolan McGraw. Let's hear it.
Yeah, we'll keep it to just the closers for now, because we're going to run short on time for sure. But, you know, a lot of closer names out there, a lot of guys that could be capable of coming in here and being closers. And make no mistake, these guys will be highly coveted. And we start talking about some of the contract figures they could get. That's really where I wanted to start, is kind of what range are they Orioles willing to deal with. Now, prior to the Andrew Kittredge trade and getting him back, it was a dire situation because you needed a closer and you really needed two setup guys on top of that. I like Keegan Aiken, and he played a setup role last year, but I think he'd be much better suited, maybe even being a long relief guy, because he's capable of giving you two innings. If that so happens to be the seventh or eighth occasionally, that's fine, but we can add on to it. We can do better than that. So for now, just closer options to me, and this would be within the Orioles' affordability range. I don't think they're going to go out there and get Edwin Diaz. We'll just start by saying that. Okay. That's kind of off the table.
On the Mets.
Nor should, in my opinion, they be seeking a reliever contract of 3-4+ years. I would much rather prefer to deal in the two-year range. 1 year may be a little too unstable, but depending on the guy, it's fine. Bullpens are so volatile. It's the most volatile position or area of a baseball team, and there's no doubt about it. Case in point, the Orioles. A guy like CNL Perez went from being an absolute nobody who couldn't put the ball over the plate to a truly elite back-end setup guy, then back to being a scrub, all within the span of 3 years. It changes that quickly. So I'm not going to make that long-term investment. Now, granted, Edwin Diaz has proven himself. Done yammering here. Here's my three names.
Yes.
The big one, Pete Fairbanks, became available yesterday. And I was almost hesitant to put him on here because I was tossing and turning last night, 3:30 in the morning. I couldn't sleep. What do the Rays know that we don't? What? There's clearly something here that they know that how could you give up on this guy? He's been one of the best and most consistent closers in the American League over the past 3-4 years. You know he can handle pitching in the AL East. He has that sustained success. Only $11 million to bring him back. And it's the same thing we talked about with the Cubs with Imanaga the other day. All right, maybe you think that this guy is about to fall off. pick up the option, you go to the winter meetings, we're open for business for Pete Fairbanks. You don't think every team would be tripping over themselves to give you something, but you let them walk for nothing. I don't understand the Rays at all, but this is the most Rays move I could possibly think of.
Yeah.
If I'm the Orioles, I want them.
And usually it is cost effective for them as an organization, but they do like to flip these guys and get prospects in return and cultivate them. And then that guy becomes Pete Fairbanks, et cetera, et cetera. Yeah. Hey, is there something to your point within the Fairbanks, health situation? I don't want to assume injury, same with Imanaga, but you know, you go from being the dude to we don't even want you around anymore for a relatively cheap price tag.
$11 million. Yeah. He's gonna get more when he signs. I mean, seemingly.
But you want him in Baltimore.
I do. Case I mean, it'd be 12 and 13. That seems to be some of the projections I'm seeing, somewhere in that range. Now
I'm not against it. I'm kinda with you on that.
Not at all. Now I think they could go maybe even a little bit more affordable than that. And I might lose some people here because we're going a little more veteran. Two names here. One was actually mentioned to us by Rich Dubroff a couple weeks ago, which planted a seed here. He mentioned Kenley Jansen, 37 years old. Now, we're talking extreme veteran there. The one I would maybe prefer a little bit more, Raisel Iglesias, most recently been with the Braves the past couple years. Both of these guys, what I like about it, it's consistent, right? You know what you're getting. You're getting that 65-inning threshold, maybe more. You're getting 30 saves, and you're getting an ERA below 3.5. You can pencil that in. Now, if I'm picking between the two, I like Iglesias because I think he'll be a little on the cheaper side. He'll be maybe more willing to take the two-year deal. I mean, quite frankly, both of them should not be right, demanding more than 2 years. But Kenley Jansen, by most projections, they have him in line to make $11, $12 million a year, where Iglesias is more in the nine ballpark. So maybe you save a couple bucks by getting Iglesias. The one area where I think Jansen has an upper hand is playoff experience. I was actually surprised to see this. Iglesias has been in the league for 10 years, 10 plus years. He only has 7 playoff innings under his belt. I was stunned by that.
One with the Reds, I believe, he pitched for them in one playoff series.
And Kenley Jansen here, make sure I get this number right, 65 playoff innings in his career.
Okay.
2.2 ERA to go along with it. So, again, we'll see what the figures end up being. And if Jansen is sort of in that 10, 9, maybe even 8 ballpark, I'd be even more willing to jump on it. People are going to raise a red flag because they immediately think of Craig Kimbrel.
There you go.
And it's fair enough, right?
I don't know if that's apples to apples, though. Is that fair?
That's what I'm thinking, because Craig Kimbrel, the Orioles had to sign. That's the thing. The Orioles needed a closer. Felix was hurt. They had to make a move. They had to get a guy that at least had experience. But there were cracks in the foundation with Craig Kimbrel. Right before the end of the season, he stunk it up in the playoffs for the Phillies. Cost him in the NLCS, and even in the regular season, September was really shaky for him. So it almost seemed like the writing was on the wall, but then he comes out here and he did have fine moments. It just kind of fell apart down the road. So I think you do run that risk if you get one of these guys that, all right, same thing with Charlie Morton. Like, Charlie Morton was as consistent as anybody the 3 years, 4 years before he came to Baltimore, and then it just fell off a cliff. So you do run that risk. But I will say this, when you start looking at the closer market, the ages of these guys, they all start at 30, 31. And most of them are 33, 4, 5, upwards of Jansen territory. You know, when you're talking about bullpen guys and age, if you're looking for someone in their 20s, you're going to have to trade for them. Or it's someone in your organization that you're developing. Anyone that's on the free agent market, they're well-seasoned guys. So if you're looking for youth, it's not here in free agency.
I'm leaning towards Fairbanks.
Agreed. He's number one.
Yeah. Iglesias, he had a good year for the Braves last year. Jansen, again, I don't know if it's fair or not. I keep thinking Kimbrel with him because he's not blowing at 100 miles an hour like he was when he was in his heyday with the Dodgers. So he's become more of a guy that knows how to get hitters out as opposed to a guy that used to overpower hitters. But if you're going that route, give me Fairbanks.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, because we saw him, you know, was it Passaio he hit?
Yes, yeah.
Yeah, and that did not go over well. And he kind of was talking trash to the Orioles dugout.
No, he was talking trash to the fan above the dugout.
Oh, that's right.
And afterwards, he immediately apologized.
Yeah, but he comes in and he saves 35 games, help the Orioles get to the playoffs. Everybody's cool with that.
Well, he's not going to hit Basayo if he's his teammate, yeah. So let's just get that done.
Unless Basayo just takes his eye off the ball and takes one upside the catcher's mask there. We'll come back. Talk more baseball. Bob Nightingale, USA Today, Funhouse Trip, Nolan McGraw. Inside Access coming up at 2 and at 5 o'clock. We're getting you ready for Maryland, Georgetown. It's a gold rush. Terps and Hoyas renewing acquaintances. Both teams looking to get their second.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Second win of the year. Talk a little baseball, season's over, but the free agency frenzy is about to begin from USA Today's on the Window Nation guest hotline. Let's welcome in our buddy Bob Nightingale. Bob, what's happening?
Yeah, doing good, Bob. Thanks.
Appreciate the time, man. All right, Albernaz comes over. Craig from the Cleveland Guardians. He's the new Orioles skipper. How has this move been received throughout baseball circles?
Well, at least he's got experience. I mean, as far as being a coaching staff, and unlike a lot of these other hires. So, no, I think it's perceived well as far as a good baseball background and in well-liked, charismatic, a lot of energy. So people seem excited about it.
Now, Bob, I've been saying for months that next year's Orioles are going to be this year's Blue Jays. You know, last year the Blue Jays finished last. They're two outs away from the World Championship. Orioles, of course, finished last this year. How realistic is it for the Orioles to, you know, based on their current roster and hopefully some additions from Mike Elias in the offseason, to at the very least get back into the playoff mix in 26?
No, it should happen. Something's definitely gone wrong if they're not back in the playoffs. They were just there 2 years ago. So they should be back in the playoffs. There's no reason why they can't win the division or be right there with the Blue Jays and Yankees, Red Sox. So, no, I fully expect them to be back in the playoffs.
Now, Bob, you mentioned some of the other managerial hires. Craig Stammen gets the Padres job. I mean, Ryan Flaherty, we were talking a lot about him, former Oriole. He'd probably wind up somewhere. Hasn't. And then Kurt Suzuki signs a one-year deal with the Angels. You have Butera with the Nats, who I've got Oriole hats older than this guy. How surprised were you at some of the moves that have been made with these managers here?
Well, kind of stunned. I mean, there's a lot of guys without any experience getting these jobs. Kurt Suzuki's the only minority hiring. We've had, eight manager hires, 2 GM hires, and, not one black candidate. It's kind of stunning what's happened in baseball. It's almost like if you have experience, you got no chance. De Podesta hasn't been in the game for 10 years, and Cleveland Browns have been terrible under his watch, and now he gets another chance. So, yeah, kind of mind-boggling, really.
Well, who are some of the minority candidates, who have been bypassed? I mean, is this analytic-driven? I mean, Dee Podesta, I guess, along with Billy Bean 25 years ago, was one of the pioneers of this whole way of thinking. But why, no offense, the nerd aspect, as opposed to guys who have come up through the ranks in whatever capacity it's been?
Well, yeah, I mean, Delando Shields has been right there in the Washington Nationals. He never even got an interview. Bull Porter, who's with the Nationals, Astros, never got a manager, interview. Ron Washington, nobody reached out to him. Eric Young, go on and on. DeMarlo Hill. But just, it seems like if you have experience, it's almost a black check mark against you, where people are reaching out way outside the box trying to do something. I mean, nothing against Craig Stammen, great guy, everything else. Let's see if he can handle a major league clubhouse. It used to be, hey, serve some time in the minor leagues, served some time in the Major League coaching staff, and now no one's even doing that.
By the way, I wasn't saying you were a nerd, Bob, to correct that. But Albert Pujols, he's chatter. I mean, he was linked to the Orioles to some level, I guess. And I know Manny, I guess, at Tatis were lobbying for him, perhaps, you know, based on reports to the Padres. Is it only a matter of time before Albert Pujols is running a team? And, you know, because what's left? Just the Rockies, I guess, is the only managerial opening right now?
Yeah, just the Rockies. I thought Padres would be a good fit. I thought... he would command the respect for Manny Machado and Tatis. Let's see what happens. You know, here's a Hall of Famer willing to do this and everything else. So it's kind of a shame that he's not, you know, managing. You know, Torrey Hunter's a guy I thought should have been a major league manager. You know, he talked to Twins and talked to Angels. You know, no job there either. So, you know, maybe they'll be, you know, when those guys will get tabbed, you know, maybe mid-season next year, when guys start to get fired. But, you know, there was, you know, 9 openings this year, and, you know, and these guys didn't get any of those jobs.
Bob Nightingale, USA Today, baseball writer, future Hall of Famer, joining us on The Fan. Bob Haney talking to you on this Featured Artist Friday. All right, Tarek Skubal entering the last year of his deal in Detroit. What do you think the end game is going to be for him this offseason? Would the Tigers be inclined to maybe extend him? He is a Boris client, which usually means that's not going to be a reality, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, he's not going to sign an extension with anybody. So how much are you really going to give up for 1 year? You know, teams have done that, and, you know, it paid off. I mean, Red Sox did that. They didn't extend a crochet. So it can happen. I think they'll listen to offers and see if somebody blows them away. But I'd still be surprised if Detroit trades them. I mean, still got one more year of them. As long as you're in the race, keep them. If you're out of the race, you're not feeling good about your chances, then you can go ahead and move them next July. I'd be surprised if they move them now.
Bob, last thing for you, and not to show our ages, but, you know, we just saw, you know, a World Series that went 7 games, went extra innings, and all sorts of drama and everything that went along with it. We're on the 50th anniversary, for instance, of the 75 World Series, which has long been considered maybe the greatest of all time. How would you rate this past World Series among the best that we've ever seen?
I think it was a good one. I would say, you know, at least in modern, you know, if you want to go from 75 on, you know, top 5, top 10 for sure. You know, is it better than 91, you know, Atlanta, Minnesota with a Jack Morris game going 10 innings, or the David Freese World Series with Texas and that, the Mets, the Bill Buckner game. So it was an intriguing one. It wasn't necessarily well played. I mean, all the base running blunders the Blue Jays made, Dodgers didn't really hit. So it wasn't like either team was tearing it up. I mean, Blue Jays could have easily won this World Series. So it was certainly an entertaining one. I think if the Blue Jays had come back and won it, you know, in the 11th inning or even the bottom of the 9th, it would have, you know, would have increased by a couple notches just because the game was in Toronto. You know, those fans would have gone berserk up there.
Yeah, Bob Nightingale keeping it real all of a sudden. Yeah, that 91 World Series was brilliant. The 0-1 with New York and Arizona was also a pretty memorable one.
Yeah, 0-1, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, there are a lot of walk-off hits in that one. Bob Nightingale, USA Today, talking some baseball with him. Bob, always appreciate the time. If we don't talk to you, happy Thanksgiving to you and the family, and we'll catch up with you before the winter meetings here.
All right, sounds great. You too, Bob.
All right, here he is, Bob Nightingale, future Hall of Famer. When he gets inducted into Cooperstown, remember, Bob Haney told you so. We'll come back, Funhouse Nolan, Inside Access at 2, and then Maryland Hoops coming up at 5. Terps laying 7.5 against the Hoyas down at Xfinity to handle their business on the road. Any change, any concerns crop up over the last 24 hours, or are we still kind of rolling with what we did yesterday?
No, I mean, I might amend the score and take less away from the Vikings after hearing about old number 9 over there. Yeah. You know, I can't get down with that. I mean,
number 9.
What is it? You know, that I call him 9.
9. The trembling in the voice is like,
I call him 9.
He didn't want to talk about it, and then he got 9. Backed into a corner. Yeah, I'll knock him down to, instead of 27-20, I'll say the Ravens win 27-14.
I'm going to go 31-26 because 9. All he's got to do is throw it up to 18, and 18 can make some things happen. Same with number 3. So we're in agreement there. What about Maryland at Rutgers tomorrow?
Oh, I wish I was as confident in this one. I mean, they have a pretty strong track record against Rutgers in recent history. Mm-hmm. They take care of business, and Rutgers always been lowly there down in the bottom with Maryland. So it being on the road, it doesn't really bother me one bit. I just think if you're not motivated by, look, this is a game that we have to win, forget the spread favoring them. I mean, I'm sorry, we have to win this game. You know, forget everything that happened in the last 4 weeks. Forget getting blown out by Indiana. There is still a chance to get bowl eligibility here. It's still all in front of you. Just go get it. You know, forget what happened in the past. You know, there's still a chance to make something out of the season.
Yeah, I don't see the offense turning the ball over as much as they did against Indiana. So, yeah, we're leaning towards Maryland. And then the Terps tonight, taking on Georgetown, 6 o'clock tip. Our coverage starts at 5 here on the Fan. Maryland laying 7.5 against the Hoyas. Deshaun Harris-Smith returning to where he played his first 2 years of college basketball.
Watch him shoot like over 50% from three.
I'll eat my hat. I'll eat my Maryland hat if he does that. But you know he's going to be motivated because he's not a Buzz Williams guy. He was a Willard recruit. So, mm-hmm. I mean, Buzz, I mean, based on the couple times, he probably didn't even know who he is. What station are you on again? What's your name? But, yeah, I'm leading Turtles in a competitive game. I don't know if I dropped that 7.5. But I think Maryland in the Gold Rush will handle their business against the Hoyas, and hopefully we'll start to see this on a more regular basis, the two teams meeting.
Home crowd will carry them. And there's just, well, really, I should say the students will carry them, because that'll be the only part of the arena that's full at tip-off.
It's sold out, right? And, you know, 6 o'clock, getting to College Park on a Friday.
We know the story. I mean, we know the reality. But that's why, that's the one thing I really appreciate about Maryland, and I hope they never abandon it. For, you know, corporate greed or anything or more money. I would think one of the biggest student sections in college basketball, you know, there's some other bigger programs that kind of relegate their student section to a corner and they're tucked away and mm-hmm. behind the band and everything. Maryland's always been that's one of the things I love about it. It's so strong. The seating area is unique with the wall and everything. They go all the way around the court.
That was a Gary Williams idea.
And it's truly is unique.
Because I mean, Cole, I believe they were on one side, the side behind the Maryland bench, mm-hmm. I think. Because, you know, I went to 1,000 games at Cole Fieldhouse, but Gary Williams came up with the idea to make the student section go around the court and turn out to be kind of a smart idea.
Looks great on TV. All of them jumping up and down. It looks awesome. And I saw this year, and I'm assuming this was a Jim Smith decision, brought back student seating behind the visitor bench.
How about that?
So you get a couple rows for friends and family, but right on top of them, it's students yelling and screaming. That's the way it should be.
Now, will they let the da-na-na-na-na, you suck, and throw a newspaper at people? I don't know if they'll let that
happen. Brought back Rock and Roll Number 2. They brought that back a couple years ago, right?
Okay, yeah. But the you suck thing and you threw newspaper at the opposing bench.
I don't know if you could throw it, but...
but why not? We got time for a fun house.
Let's get a quick one.
Quick Draws Fun House. Sponsored by the Smile Design Center. Changing the way you feel about dentistry one smile at a time. For information or to schedule an appointment for care, visit them today at smiledesigndoctor.com. 105.7 The Fan.
Well, how about really just this one here, continuing the closer conversation. Texter says, I'm out on the aging guys like Jansen and Iglesias. They could easily keep their current pace, but I'm still burned by the Kimbrel move. Fairbanks would be my pick. And what about Ryan Helsley, another younger closer option?
Yeah, of the, the Cardinals, I believe it was, right?
Glad you mentioned him. He's 30 years old, so he does fit that younger bill. I was actually in trade speculation with the Orioles a couple years ago. Would have been 24. A nice option there. Did get traded to him, St. Louis, to the Mets this past year, but fell off a cliff. ERA of 3 in 36 innings with St. Louis. Goes to the Mets, 20 innings there, ERA of 7.2. Ooh. So I don't know the full story there. I don't know what happened. And didn't have any saves at all with the Mets. I think they maybe gave him a couple opportunities to close and then yanked him from that role. So if you think that was just kind of a short, rough stretch for him and you can get him back to what he was a year prior, maybe his price goes down because of how ugly it got last year. If the price is right, I'm all about it.
Yeah, good call by the texter, by the way. But all options are on the table for Mike Elias for sure. Inside Access coming up here in a matter of minutes, followed by Maryland basketball. Terps taking on the Hoyas. For Nolan McGraw, Bob Haney, stay safe, stay healthy. We'll talk to you on Monday morning. For now, class dismissed.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.